You're listening to Immaculate Conception Podcasts, recorded every Sunday at the 11 o'clock Mass at our new church located at 411 Palmer Road in Columbia, Illinois. For more information about Immaculate Conception, please go to www.icc-columbia-il.us. Our pastor is Father Carl Scheer. And now, enjoy the podcast.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. When I was growing up, we had a very small house. It was homey and comfortable, but it was small. And there was only one bathroom. And the larger our family got, the more of a problem this became, especially in the morning when everybody wanted to get there at the same time. The thing I remember most about that bathroom was a big red bar of Lifebuoy soap. Now, my father ran a tight ship, and this soap had several legal purposes. It was a strict rule in our house, kind of fits in with today's gospel, that you did not come to the dinner table without washing your hands. And so my brother and sister and I, we would race and form a line in the hallway. And one by one, we'd go into the bathroom, take the Lifebuoy soap, and scrub hands and wrists and everything else. And only then were we allowed to come to the dinner table. Three times a day, it was a religious ritual. That bar of Lifebuoy soap also served another legal purpose in my dad's morality. Whenever I slipped and used some foul or unclean language under his roof, I got marched into the bathroom and had to take a bite of the Lifebuoy soap. 60-some years later, I can still taste it. A couple of years ago, when I was still in another parish, when these same scriptures came up, I told the same story, and I made the dumb remark. I said, you know, they probably don't make Lifebuoy soap anymore. The following Sunday, at least three parishioners brought me some. So please do not trouble yourself. I now know, and I still have one in my bathroom as a reminder of childhood. This fits in so well with this little discussion that Jesus got into with these people about washing hands before eating. And he makes a quite obvious reference to the laws that were built up through 1,000 years or more of Jewish history. Back when the Jews came out of slavery and went through the desert and established themselves, Moses gave them God's commandments. And you can kind of understand why washing and cleanliness was part of that. These people lived in a rather rustic society. They didn't know anything about germs and all these things that we know about today. But they did know that if you were going to survive, you had to keep yourself clean, practice hygiene and good public health. And so I'm sure that the reason God gave these commands about washing was so that the chosen people would survive up until Jesus. They would not all fall victim to some disease or plague that came along. And so the cleansings of all these themselves and their pots and pans and everything else served a practical purpose. It kept them in survival mode. The problem was, as so often happens with human laws, they turned from something useful and common sense into a fetish, almost the way my dad had it working in our house. You just never made an exception come, you know what, or high water. You just always followed the rules. And so by the time of Jesus, it had gotten into almost the point of being ridiculous. And Jesus refers to all these things that they scrubbed and cleansed and everything else. And the problem came up. Jesus and his disciples, they were good Jews. They tried their best to observe the rules, including washings and everything else. But look at their lifestyle. They were going from town to town, preaching and healing and dealing with sick people constantly. And even to get a bite to eat was difficult, much less find the town well. They didn't have running water in those days. So they did the best they could, but they used common sense. And they made exceptions, and plenty of time they ate without washing their hands. And thus this little debate that occurs in Mark's gospel. And Jesus takes the occasion to point out to them, come on, people, get with it. Do the best you can, but don't elevate all these laws and regulations to the same level of the law of God, which is to love one another. Use your head, use common sense. And so that was why Jesus taught them, it's not so much what goes into your mouth that makes you unclean, it's the stuff that comes out, as my dad understood when I had to bite the Lifebuoy soap. So I think the scriptures today invite us to just make a very simple little meditation about hygiene. Now, usually I start with the human level and work my way up to the spiritual. I'm going to do it the other way around this morning and start with the spiritual. We use a lot of ritual cleansing in our liturgy as well. Baptism uses water, and the text of baptizing a child or an adult makes obvious reference to cleansing, being washed clean of original sin and being purified. And then we repeat that over and over again in so many ways. During Easter, instead of the Lord have mercy, I come down the aisle sprinkling everybody with the holy water. I love it. It makes your makeup run and everything else. I get vicious pleasure out of doing that. We use water over and over again when we come into church to bless ourselves. And on the way out, there's a spot in the Mass right before the Eucharistic prayer where the priest washes his hands. It's a ritual action, but it symbolizes that we are to come clean when we come to celebrate the Lord's sacrament. So ritual cleansing and everything else is very much a part of our worship, just as it was for the Jews. And I think we've got to exercise the same caution, that we don't get goofy about this and think that it's magic or something like that. It's simply a sacramental way of reminding ourselves of something interior. It's interesting, I think, at the spiritual level, we often use the word salvation. And we think about that, what's going to happen when we die and go to heaven. But salvation comes from the same Latin word as health. And so at the spiritual level, salvation, health, practicing good hygiene is important, but we keep our priorities in the right order. We don't put human traditions ahead of God's law. All of that being said, I think there are some natural applications too. Surely we should be in favor of good hygiene and cleanliness, especially if you're German. It's almost an obsession with you. Cleanliness is next to godliness, I was told on thousands of occasions as a child. We were part of the scrubby Dutch tradition. But it's a good idea to practice good hygiene. But don't make a fetish out of it. Teach your children to do it well and to be conscientious, but also to use common sense. But then I think we need to move to the next level that Jesus was hinting at. And even that second reading from St. James the Apostle tells us exactly where it is. He concludes, "Religion that is pure and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to care for orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained by the world." So it says something too about our ministry, both to ourselves and to the rest of the world. In the very best sense of the word, those of us who are disciples of Jesus are called to be the world's spiritual janitors. We get our hands dirty by going out there and dealing with real situations, as unpleasant and as unclean as they might seem, because God wills it so. Nobody is better example for us right now than Pope Francis, who makes it a point to get there with the poor and the prisoners and the down and outs. And I can't wait till he comes to our country next month, because I think he's going to make a whole lot of people nervous, just like these scribes and Pharisees got nervous when the disciples of Jesus got unclean. Pope Francis is going to do that, and it's a great example for us. We need to be about the business of cleaning out what is really filthy in the world. Corruption and incompetence and ignorance and racism and poverty and all the things that are the real uncleanliness of the world, and not be afraid to tackle it and to go at it with gusto. That's our meditation for today. Don't ever think that you're going to get to heaven by observing ritual. Rituals are there to help, but that is all they do. And here we are at the high ritual of our religion, the celebration of the Eucharist. We are about to share the meal, the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I assume you all went to the bathroom and found your soap before you came to church this morning. But just in case you didn't, that's why we started the liturgy with a penitential rite. We didn't use water today, but we asked God to cleanse us of our sinfulness. With hearts pure, as God sees cleanliness, we celebrate the body and blood of Christ at this table. And then at the dismissal, we are sent out to go into the world and help clean up a little bit of what needs to be cleaned. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.